Well, thank you, Brother David, and God bless you. Hello, saints. Good to be back with you here again today. And let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank you for being our God. We thank you, Lord, that we can depend on you and trust you for everything. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us and gives us the power and authority over all the enemies. And we praise you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for our heavenly language that you've given us, Lord. Tongues that edifies each one of us, Lord, and builds our faith up. And it's a power against the enemy, Father. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Anoint us today, Lord, to speak what you want us to speak and get this word out. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And as you probably already know, talking about the Holy Spirit and tongue, that a spirit-filled believer with knowledge of the word is a great danger to the devil's kingdom, and he knows it. So he's going to do everything he can to keep you from getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and especially to keep you from praying in the Holy Spirit so that all your needs can be met. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of ministrations and the same Lord. Well, in other words, the same gift might work differently in different people. Now, going on in verse 6, it says, and there are diversities of workings, but the same God, who works all things in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit withal. You're supposed to have some of these manifestations of the Spirit here, because it says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit withal. So continuing on here, it says, for to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith in the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healings in the one Spirit, and to another workings of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discernings of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongue. And it's always called here, by the way, when he's talking about the gifts of tongues to the church, which is what these gifts are, he says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit withal. It's for the church, folks. These gifts are for the church, not yourself. He calls it here kinds of tongues. And your version might say something other than that, but he doesn't just call it tongues here in this chapter. And in verse 28, he calls it kinds of tongues, or he calls it diverse tongues. In other words, different kinds of tongues. And continuing on, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these works the one and the same Spirit, dividing to each one severally, even as he will. So you need to be careful to not receive anything that's negative about the Holy Spirit and tongues. Now they say that since tongues is listed last there, that it somehow or another is the least of the gifts. Well, whether it's the least or not, we don't know, because it don't say, does it? But I'm going to tell you something, that any gift that the Spirit of God would pray in faith for you concerning your needs, that's not a little gift. That ain't a little gift in anybody's book. If it was the least gift, what difference does it make? He gives it to the most people. You hear that? He gives it to the most people. He must think it's pretty necessary, don't you think? Because so far we're seeing that he gives it to everybody that receives the Holy Spirit. How come it's the least gift? Besides, if you're rejecting the least gift, can you have the greatest? Can you have the greater gifts if you reject that least gift? In 1 Corinthians 14:18, it says, I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul thought it was a precious gift. And so they say it's the least gift because it's spoken of last. That's craziness. We've got three gifts spoken of here in 1 Corinthians 13. It says in verse 13, but now abides faith, hope, love. These three, and the greatest of these is love. Now, which one is mentioned last there? Well, they say that because it's listed last, it's the least gift. It don't go with that scripture right there, does it? The gift that's most important to you is the one that's needed right then, at the time that you need it, right? There ain't no other gift in the scriptures that is given to all. Why would it be that all have tongues, which is more than the other gifts? Now, I know that some Pentecostals got a problem with emphasizing tongues at the expense of all the rest of the gifts, and that's because they don't go on either. And just as how we mentioned that the Baptists and the Methodists don't go on with God, Pentecostals don't go on with God either. They say, well, this is it. I can go on and I can relax here because I got it, man. I got it all right now. I got the Holy Spirit and that's it. I can sit back, got my ticket punched, and I'm ready to go. Well, the truth is that the whole church has to have these gifts for it to function just like it's supposed to be. For it to function properly, it needs every one of those gifts. And to be a good witness for Jesus Christ also. So, again, this objection that people have, starting in 1 Corinthians 12:27, okay? Now, ye are the body of Christ and severally members thereof, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diverse kinds of tongues. There it is again. Diverse kinds of tongues again. It's not just tongues as it's mentioned in a lot of other places. And let's continue on here. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But desire earnestly the greater gifts. And moreover, a most excellent way show I unto you. Now, how come in the book of Acts we see all of them speaking in tongues? Yet here he says, do all speak with tongues? Because if you notice that in this chapter, he's talking about ministering gifts to the body in verse 4 and 6. 4 through 6. You know, when you speak in tongues, the Bible says that if any man speak in an unknown tongue, they edify themselves, 1 Corinthians 14:4. This means that they build up themselves, okay? Then, like it says in Jude 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I've heard people use that negatively, and they say, you see there, he just builds up himself. Listen, that wasn't spoken of negatively. That was to empower you. Tongues is to empower you. We need to be built up in the faith, like it said in Jude and in 1 Corinthians 14. We need to be built up and empowered. And tongues is mentioned last year, and he says, do we all speak with tongues? Well, the people who speak in tongues ought to know more about this than the people who don't, wouldn't you say? Because the people who don't speak in tongues say, see, we don't all need to speak in tongues because he says we don't all speak in tongues. You know, I've had tongues and interpretation of tongues two or three times, I think, in my life. It's not a common gift for me. It's not one that has been given to me to minister. But like I said, if you have the Holy Spirit, he can minister any of these gifts through you when you need them at any time. Now, I have manifested quite a few of these gifts, but he's talking about these gifts being given commonly to people to minister to the body. I may pray in church in tongues, but it's going to be just between me and God. It's not to the congregation. But some people feel that anointing to do that. You know, the Holy Spirit can stand people up and make them speak in tongues too. You know, I pray in tongues every day because I want the Holy Spirit to pray for me. I need help, don't y'all? You can't live this Christian life and walk in the power of God without being built up in faith and built up in the Holy Ghost, which is what speaking in tongues is all about. So I tell you that if you go to people who speak in tongues, they're going to tell you the same thing, that these are not the same gifts. They're two different gifts. For one, in the book of Acts, they did not demand an interpretation, not in one place. And yet here, Paul demands an interpretation for this gift. One of them is through the Holy Spirit, through you, back to God. And the other one is a gift for the body that needs an interpretation to the body, or else it's not helpful. It's not that it's bad. It's not bad if you speak in tongues to the body. It's just not helpful because they won't understand you. It's a waste of time. In 1 Corinthians 13 and 8, it says, "Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away." Whoa. "Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away." People try to use these verses to explain away the gifts. People say, well, yeah, when God created the modern day church, he did away with all these gifts. Let me ask you a question. Is knowledge done away with? So explain how tongues is going to be done away with. Obviously, it's going to be done away when knowledge is done away, right? Verse 9, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect come, that which is in part shall be done away." He's not talking about prophecies or tongues or knowledge being done away. He's talking about the in part being done away. The immaturity that you do it in at the beginning. That this is what you're going to outgrow. He said, "For that which is perfect," which is the same word for mature, by the way, "is come, that which is in part shall be done away." He didn't say tongues would be done away. He said that your immature use of a gift that grows with you as you grow will be done away. The immature. Read on. "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things." But when you become a man, you still speak. You just don't speak like a child anymore, do you? The gift of tongues that you receive in the beginning is not the gift of tongues that you receive in the end either. Your gift grows with you. So he's talking about the immaturity passing away. You don't really learn to properly use the gifts until you mature in them. When it's said that you prophesy in part, the people that begin to prophesy, it's nothing like how they end up prophesying, is it? Because they end up with a real mature gift. Sometimes they stumble around. And sometimes when people speak in tongues, they might just have one or two words that come out of their mouth. But before long, it's a total language. And if they just keep it up, it becomes a total language. And it becomes very fluent. So that which is in part is done away. If you think you're perfect so that you don't need tongues anymore, you need to go look in the mirror a little more carefully. For some of those people that don't speak in tongues and never have spoken in tongues, to say that which is perfect is come, so now we don't speak in tongues, that's ridiculous. Especially when they haven't even received the very simplest gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they are rebelling against God in claiming that it passed away. A long time after tongues were given, they were still being spoken. And if people know what speaking in tongues really is, why would you want to do away with it? What you're doing, you're silencing the Holy Spirit who prays to God according to the will of God. If you think it's done away. There's nothing that we need more in this life than tongues. The proof is that God gives it so to a lot of folks. He gives to anybody that asks, as a matter of fact. "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" Luke 11:13. And it says in 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, for now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now again, he's talking about maturing in Christ and in the gift of Christ. You're not going to speak childishly, speak in tongues the way you started out, or prophesy even the way you started out. Going on here, it says, now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. But now abides faith, hope, love. These three, and the greatest of these is love. And then he goes on and gives them instructions about speaking in tongues in the church, or just speaking in tongues. Now, continuing on in chapter 14, follow after love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Now, he says that three times, by the way, in chapters 12, 13, and 14. And if you're not doing that, you're being disobedient to the Word of God. He said, desire earnestly spiritual gifts. That's the command of the Lord. And if you're arguing with the Lord about, oh, I don't know, I don't want to do that, Lord, I don't want to speak in tongues, well, you're just rebellious and disobedient. He said, the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Acts 5 and 32. So obey God and receive the Holy Spirit in the same way that they received it. Don't try to put your conditions on it. The Lord is the Lord of the church, y'all. We're not the Lord of the Lord. He is. And in 1 Corinthians 14 and 1, it says, desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. And by the way, prophesying and interpretation are equal, according to what he says here. For he that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands, but in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men edification and exhortation and consolation. He that speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. So if you just speak in tongues without an interpretation, you're edifying yourself. But he that prophesies edifies the church, right? And in verse 5 it says, I would have you all speak with tongues. There's that word all again, right? But rather that ye should prophesy, and greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongue, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So, if you get an interpretation, that's the same thing as prophesying. But the Holy Spirit speaking to the church, and the Holy Spirit speaking through you to God for you, that's two different gifts. Continuing on here, it says, but now, brethren, if I come unto you, speaking with tongues, I'm sorry, what shall I profit you? And if you'll notice, he didn't say it was bad, did he? The people who don't speak in tongues try to make this out to be that it's evil and wrong to speak in church without an interpretation. It don't say that. That adds to the Word of God. They're against tongues and are against the Holy Spirit too. Continuing on here, it says, unless I speak to you either by way of revelation or of knowledge or of prophesying or of teaching, even things without life, giving a voice, whether pipe or harp, if they give not a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain voice, who shall prepare himself for war? So also ye, unless ye utter by the tongue speech easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and no kind is without signification. And if then I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be to him that speaks a barbarian, and he that speaks will be a barbarian unto me. So also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts. That's pretty neat, huh? They call the Corinthians the carnal church. Well, I'll tell you what, there are not many churches today that should say that about the Corinthian church. It'd be the pot calling the kettle black, as they used to say, right? Continue on. Seek that ye may abound unto the edifying of the church. You see, because we need to desire these gifts for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. Continuing on now. Wherefore, let him that speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. You know, I love to sing in the spirit. I feel built up, and I feel edified when I do that. Let's continue on. Else, if thou bless with the spirit, how shall he that fills the place of the unlearned say the amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he knows not what thou say? So if you're dealing with other people, interpretation is needed. Otherwise, they ain't going to understand what you're saying. But I'm going to say this, though. There are people that say that you cannot speak in tongues in church without an interpretation. That's people who don't speak in tongues. And what they ought to do is just shut up because they're talking about something that they don't know about, right? First of all, the Bible says that you can speak in tongues in church. And it says that if you're addressing the church, you need an interpretation so that they'll understand. But it does say to speak to yourselves and to God. In verse 28, it says, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Look it up. That's talking about orally speaking to himself and to God. It's not wrong to speak in tongues without an interpretation, y'all. Otherwise, they wouldn't have let the book of Acts in there. They all spoke in tongues in the book of Acts. Now, why didn't the Holy Spirit object then? Why didn't one apostle object? There ain't nothing wrong with speaking in tongues. If everybody very vocally stands up and speaks in tongues in the church, that's what he's warning about in verse 23 there. Don't do that because you got that people coming in from outside or unlearned and unbelieving. They're not going to get any kind of edification from it whatsoever. And they might think you're mad. So that's why he's giving good advice on how to be used to this gift. Now, if all of you speak in tongues, well, sure, it's okay. And you'll notice that Paul said, I will, in verse 15, he says, I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. Paul said, I will. Now, people out there say, oh, you can't do that unless the Holy Spirit. Well, not yes, you can. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, it says in 1 Corinthians 14:32. You can speak in tongues anytime you want to. Anybody who has the gift, even the slightest bit mature, can do it whenever they want to. You know why? Because God wants you to do it all the time. He said, I thank God I speak with tongue more than you all, in verse 18. And then in verse 19, howbeit in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that I might instruct others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Now, that wasn't because he was making tongues small or anything like that. It was just that tongues is no help to other people unless there's given interpretation or unless the tongue that you're sharing happens to be their own native language. It's one that they understand. Y'all remember that story about David being translated over into Eastern Europe? That big old Gothic-looking church? And he sat there, he said, for 2 or 3 hours speaking to them, preaching to them in their own language. Now, as far as David knew, he was speaking in tongues. He didn't understand a word he was saying. And did nobody give them an interpretation because it was in their language. Now, was it wrong? He was speaking in tongues. No, it wasn't wrong. Those people just don't know what they're talking about. Don't let anybody that doesn't speak in tongues tell you anything about tongues, okay? Because they don't know nothing about it. Especially if they're against it, because the Bible doesn't say anything negative about tongues. It just gives you an education on how to be used of that gift. There was that time, and that was just after the upper room experience, when they all spoke in different languages. But there were people from different countries, different languages, in which all of them were speaking in. Now, that's another stumbling block for the people who speak against tongues. And the devil railed against them. Even then he did. He spoke through hecklers that said they were drunk. You remember that? You know, I've been many a time in my walk with the Lord where the Holy Spirit would burden me to pray in tongues. And I might pray for a while, almost constantly. And I don't know what I'm praying for. I felt the same burden sometimes just to pray for a certain person or a situation that I don't know how to pray for. Pray in tongues. I've prayed over people in tongues because I didn't know what to pray. The Holy Spirit obviously knows what to pray, so we might as well let Him go ahead and do it, right? It's nice to let the Holy Spirit lead anyway, because He knows a lot more than we do. Praise God. Paul believed it was a precious gift because he did it with more fervency and more often, he said. And he said that he spoke in tongues more than you all in verse 18. He knew it was a special gift. And the Bible commands us that when we come together to have a song, a teaching, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation, but that all things be done for edifying, for building up. Okay? There it is again here. He that speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies or interprets edifies the church. 1 Corinthians 14:4. So when we come together, this is what decently and in order is. Because when you come together, the gifts flow. And that's decently and in order. The people that quote that most often don't want any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in their church. And that's what they call decently and in order. And they forbid speaking in tongue. But you know why? That's because they're apostates and they don't believe what the Word of God says. They only believe in the part of the Word of God that they find beneficial for their religion. So friends, obviously in the Scriptures, the most common way for people to receive the Holy Spirit is to have other believers pray over them. Many times people just receive the Holy Spirit at home while praying in their prayer closet or even in their shower or wherever. You can receive it any place. You can receive the Holy Spirit by the prayer of faith, which is to believe that you have received. But if you're double-minded after that, you need to pray again. Or you can pray with the prayer of importunity, which the Lord spoke about in Luke. And that's an effectual, fervent prayer. You know, I prayed for almost a year. It wasn't quite a year, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And at the end of my prayer, importunity, faith came into me. A gift of faith came into me to receive it. I received it, praising God, walking around, praising God in my shop one day. You know what happened? As I was doing that, God's glory rained down upon me. And I immediately began to speak in a heavenly language for hours after that. It was a glorious time. The effectual, fervent prayer sometimes brings the gift of faith so that you're able to receive through faith. Now, I've seen a lot of people receive the Holy Spirit with the manifestation of tongues very easily by receiving by faith. But people that are begging God to give them the Holy Spirit, their understanding is wrong because God already gave them the Holy Spirit. He poured it out on the day of Pentecost and never took it back. See, he told them to wait until the Holy Spirit was poured out. He don't tell anybody now to wait. Nowhere in the book of Acts after that did anybody have to wait. They just prayed for him and they received him. And that's true today. You don't have to talk God into it. You just have to receive it by faith. Now, God may speak into your mind sometimes. You could talk to 100 people and get 100 different explanations of how they receive the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes people just get a word or two in their minds. And they start faithfully speaking that. And then all of a sudden, somewhere down the road, it turns into a language. Or sometimes God has them open their mouths and speak in something besides their own language, and it turns into a language. And sometimes the Holy Spirit just comes down on people, and they start speaking in tongues, and they immediately feel the power of the gifts all over them. And that's what happened to me. Then spoke in tongues, and they couldn't stop, and did it for hours. So God is a God of variety, I believe. I think he does that on purpose so that we won't think the method is more important than just faith in the gift. Jesus was very much into variety when he healed the sick. He did it a whole lot of different ways, didn't he? And he wasn't stuck on any particular method. So he did that so we'd know that it's not the methods, but it's the faith that matters. Can you receive the Holy Spirit before being baptized in water? Well, it happened in Acts chapter 10. You can receive the Holy Spirit before being baptized. Now, most people get baptized before they receive the Holy Spirit. But mainly it's because people don't know that as soon as you do get saved, you're entitled to receive the Holy Spirit. And it is God's will. So, since we've got so much of that kind of teaching today, people don't know that you're supposed to go immediately right into receiving the Holy Spirit. Yeah, in Acts 10, before they got baptized, they received the Holy Spirit. So if we become sons of God, do we receive all the gifts of the Spirit? The manifestation of sonship is such that you could be used by any of those gifts at any time. But commonly, you'll probably be used by 1, 2, or 3, something like that. In the latter day reign, these gifts are all, every one of them, going to be magnified. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things. You know, the Lord gives you a gift to use in the body. But God's perfect will is that the giver of the gift be manifested in you. Now, that's the whole point, isn't it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Gifts are given even to the youngest disciples. And if you'll notice, when you read in the book of Acts, people that had just got saved and got filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all spoke in tongues. They just gotten saved. Now, the gifts aren't given to just super spiritual people or knowledgeable people. They're given because they're needed. And as we grow up, we'll get more and more of the giver in us. And the giver can manifest any gift. It's better to have the giver than the gift. If you've got the giver, you got the gift, right? The only thing is that you've got the maturity and understanding that goes with the gift. Now, the question asked is, could you have the Holy Spirit and not speak in tongues? Well, tongues is a manifestation of the Spirit. And what that means is that you have to have the Holy Spirit before you can speak in tongues. Now, there are people that have had the Holy Spirit and just had to let go to speak in tongues and were hindered in some kind of way of the manifestation of tongues. Some people have said a few words in tongues and didn't say anything after that. Or they had these words in their mind, but they wouldn't let them out of their mouth. Some have said their tongue got thick, like they were supposed to say something and they wouldn't do it. So it is possible to have the Holy Spirit and not manifest the gift. And again, the gift is not the Holy Spirit. The gift is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit before you can manifest the gift. Always expect to speak in tongues as you're being prayed for. You know, a lot of times I'll just be going down the road and praying and singing in tongues and enjoying it. You know why? Because it builds me up and I can feel it. When you speak in tongues, it's almost like a guarantee and a such a confidence that God has heard that your prayers are being answered. When you're free, you feel relieved. You feel joy. You feel fulfilled. I can't tell you what the feeling is, just a confidence. That's the only word that I can come up with. It's like putting in fresh batteries, y'all. That's what building up is all about, putting in fresh batteries. Now, a common good side effect of being filled with the Holy Spirit is beginning to understand the Word more. It's what Jesus said would happen when the Holy Spirit has come. He said he will lead you and guide you into all truth, John 16 and 13. If you take all of Christianity, which is spread out from pole to pole, the people who are Spirit-filled are much closer in doctrine than all the rest of them put together. There's a much more understanding, much more truth, much more discernment in the Spirit, and you begin to discern a spirit realm. You begin to believe in demons. You begin to believe in your authority over them. And you begin to believe that God is powerful enough to meet your needs. And there's a closer connection with the spirit realm. And there's also, by the way, a power over the flesh that we didn't know was possible. I mean, able to walk, not to sin, okay? You're real conscious of what you're doing or what you're saying. Where you at and who you're with. It's a familiarity of being for the Lord. It's just a mindset, y'all. A person who speaks in their own personal prayer language, like was received in the book of Acts, can pray for the gift of tongues, which is for the edification of the church body. And they can pray for the gift of interpretation, which goes along with it. And if they already speak in tongues for their personal edification in prayer language, then they can pray for the gift to be used in the church and the interpretation to be used in the church or any other gift. All the gifts are necessary in the body for the building up of the body. And in the book of Acts, they all spoke with tongues. And that was kind of obvious. But they all didn't have the gift of tongues. And everybody would probably agree with me from their own experience that we've all received the personal prayer language or tongue. But we haven't all received the gift of tongues, which would make you stand up in front of a congregation using tongues and then give an interpretation. All of us haven't received that. Everybody who speaks in tongues knows whether or not they've received that gift or not. That's the one that Paul's talking about when he says, do all speak with tongue in 1 Corinthians 12 and 30. Excuse me. That's the one he's talking about. That's the gift for the body. Because he's talking about gifts for the body here, not one's own personal gifts. Now the gift he's talking about in 1 Corinthians 12, 10 and 28, twice is called kinds of tongues or diverse tongues in some other Bibles, which means different kinds of tongues. Diverse tongues, different kinds of tongues, various kinds of tongues. That's the gifts he's talking about in 1 Corinthians 12. And everybody don't have that gift. Even everyone that speaks in tongues doesn't have that gift. Now, if you have your personal prayer language of the Holy Spirit, and you do speak in tongues every day, you can pray for all these gifts and ask God which one he desires for you. Because he may put it in your heart, and he may give you just a little piece of the gift itself to let you know what he wants you to have, so that you can pray diligently for it. It says, desire earnestly spiritual gifts, plural. So we need to desire earnestly the gifts, because that's a command from the Lord. Three times it's a command. And it also says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a command too. Now, the church is about to go into the wilderness. And Israel gave us the type of being baptized in water and in the Spirit. And you're going to need the Holy Spirit to go into that wilderness. So desire earnestly to be filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and with the gifts of the Spirit. Well, can you fake that? Or can it be used by false prophet? Yeah, it can be used by false prophets, and I guess it can be fake too. But if we ask God for a good gift, like Luke 11, you see, some people use this to say, well, you better be careful with those tongues. They won't scare you about it. That's ridiculous. Luke 11, 9 through 11 says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks it shall be opened. And of which of you that is a father shall his son ask a loaf, and he give him a stone or a fish, and he for a fish give him a serpent? In other words, you're asked for something good, something that's needed, and you give him something bad? No, you don't do that, and he doesn't either. That's what he's saying. Continued in verse 12. Or if he shall ask anything, if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Well, if you're asking for a good gift, then is God going to give you a good gift? Well, you betcha. You don't have to worry about all old voodoo scary stuff that the apostate that don't believe in tongues and receiving the Holy Spirit have laid on you. In fact, there are a lot of people who have had to overcome all that old stuff, all that scary stuff that they put on them, that they might get something from the devil. That ain't what the Bible says. Now, I ain't saying that the devil can't copy God's gift, because he can. I've seen it myself. But if you're a child of God, you're asking for a good gift from your Father, he's going to give you a good gift. But if you're a son of the devil, you're going to get his gifts too, okay? There are copies. The one the devil has are copies. If you're impressed or impelled of the Holy Spirit to get up and speak in tongues, the Bible says, pray that you may interpret. And if you find out that there's not an interpreter there in that particular place where you are, you don't have to do it again. It's obvious that you don't always know whether an interpreter is there or not. But again, I want to point it out to you. Paul did not say it was wrong or it was evil to speak in tongues in a church without the interpreter. He said that you're not going to do them any good. That's all he said. And if you did and you found out there wasn't an interpreter there, why would you want to get up and speak in tongues again? You see, the apostate church has used everything they could to dissuade us from speaking in tongues, throwing all kinds of monkey wrenches in there. But Paul never said it was bad to speak in tongues if there's an interpreter. He just said that you're wasting your time because they won't understand it. But it does say in 1 Corinthians 14:28 that if there's not an interpreter, let him speak to himself and to God. You hadn't committed a sin if you get up and give a tongue and nobody interprets it. You hadn't sinned. There ain't nothing that says that. Nowhere, no how. He just makes the point that they're not receiving any edification because they don't know what's said. Amen. But you know, there are some Pentecostal churches where everybody gets up and just very loudly speaks in tongues. If you think about it, that's not being too weak to the weak. And if you got people that come in and are unlearned, like they're a denominational person that don't believe in speaking in tongues, they're just going to be offended because of their ignorance. So why go ahead and do it? Sure, you can do it. Everybody could get up and speak in their own language just as a matter of prayer, but he's saying that if the people that come in are offended, why would you do that? Now, I've been in churches where people do it discreetly, where the people all prayed. They prayed to themselves and to God, and they were addressing it loud enough for people in the next room to hear them. They were just praying to God. What you might have heard was a humming sound throughout the congregation of everybody praying in tongues. But it wasn't offensive. And most people didn't know what was going on, because it could have been people praying in their own language. Because if the whole congregation gets together and everybody prays in English, you still hear that kind of murmuring sound. It's not really a distinctive sound or voice. There's nothing wrong with speaking in tongues in church. There ain't a verse in the Bible that says that. It's just not edifying. And if you don't give an interpretation, if you're not speaking loud enough to address the congregation, they don't understand. You know, I've heard tongues interpretation where you could have heard a pin drop over thousands of people. A tongue was given, an interpretation was given, and everybody heard it just as if the person had a mic in front of them. You could have heard a pin drop. Even a baby stopped crying. And I've seen the anointing come upon thousands of people, congregations. And even the baby stopped crying when a tongue's interpretation was coming forth. That's supernatural stuff there. Amen. David tells a story about a prophet. Told him one time that he asked the Lord about an accurate Bible. And you know what happened? The Lord made an ASV fall off the shelf right in front of him. He said he knew that the Lord was telling him that that was what he should get. He said, listen, we're not prejudiced about any Bible, but if I find one more accurate than the one I'm using, I'm going to go to that one. Because I don't want to get religious about translations like the King James folks do. That's just a religious spirit, and that's all it is. I correct my Bible sometimes with numerics. Write little notes in it, a lot. And that's what we've done in the past. I'd like to give a testimony about some of the people that have spoken in tongues. This person said, I had prayed for speaking in tongues for over a year, and I had not received it. One day, I was at home and reading in Scripture and listening to music about the crucifixion, and I got to a place in Hezekiah where the people who were at war with Israel were saying, don't speak to us in our language, speak to us in the Assyrian language. And all of a sudden I just heard, open your mouth wide and I'm going to feel it. But when I began, it wasn't speaking in tongues, it was singing in the spirit in tongues. The understanding that the Lord gave me was that I shouldn't have been seeking tongues, but I should have been seeking the gift giver. And all that was available to me in Christ. Not to seek a thing, okay, just the giver. In 2 weeks, I understood why he did it that way, because I started hearing, oh, you're not saved. And it's your imagination. That's what they tell me. The Spirit reminded me that I had not heard of singing in the Spirit, and he hadn't shown me that in Scripture. So I couldn't be brainwashed about something I'd never heard about. What I also found out was that singing in the Spirit was a weapon. I did face a lot of depression and attacks of the enemy, and singing in the Spirit really lifts you above all of that. You know, we need to seek the gifts. A lot of Pentecostal people speak in tongues, but they never received any other gifts. And of course, the Bible says to desire them earnestly and to seek that you may abound unto the edifying of the body. And that's a command from God. Start doing it. Just do it in obedience to God. Because you don't know how many gifts God wants you to have, right? The Holy Spirit can speak words in your mind that if you just speak them in obedience, he can take that and turn it into a whole language. A lot of people have done that. You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. What you learn sometimes is that the Holy Spirit will nudge you to do something. to just speak into your spirit to do something, and you may be caught up in the flesh or whatever and doing your own thing and ignore him until he just gets sort of quieter and quieter. He's gentle and loving. And sometimes you can hinder or hurt the Holy Spirit by not being obedient when he's trying to get you to do something. And it can also be a false sense of security that if you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and you start speaking in tongues, that you think that everything is perfect. I know somebody that was baptized in water and in the Holy Spirit and started splitting hell wide open. It didn't do them a bit of good to receive the Holy Spirit because you can lose it. Just because you received it. Listen, don't worry about people mimicking the Holy Spirit. We have to mimic Christ, and there's no harm in that. Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Acts 1 and 8 says, but ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. It's like an opening up of your understanding and your ability to walk in the things and understand the things that you're learning. And it's supposed to be causing you to be a witness. And when you get saved, you're supposed to get filled with the Holy Spirit, even as a baby Christian. So it's supposed to be just the beginning. The Holy Spirit is to empower us to live the Christian life. And it's real sad that we've heard so much hogwash from traditional religion that's kept a whole bunch of folks from receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. But like I said, it's part of the covenant to receive a new spirit and then the Spirit of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. And Lord, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to send the power of your Spirit upon anyone out there that desires to be filled. Lord, that you would manifest tongues through them, that they would fluently be able to speak in a heavenly language, that you would bless them to be empowered by the Spirit to lead the joyful Christian life. And Lord, we just thank you for it. We thank you for baptizing many in Jesus' name. Lord, go with us this week and guide us and give us your wisdom. And please give us success in whatever plan you have for our individual lives. Lord, give us success. Help us to get the gospel out. Help us to be fully equipped to do the work of God and fill us mightily by the gifts of your Holy Spirit. Lord, reveal to the brethren and everybody here what gifts that you desire for us to have individually and put the faith in our hearts to receive what you have, Lord. All things come of you and we can do nothing without you. We love you, Lord. And we thank you so much for this opportunity to get together and study your word and enjoy your word. And we praise you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Well, God bless you, brethren. We love you. Keep us in your prayers, and we're going to do the same for y'all. Amen. Good night.